Happy Monday, Bucks fans. This is Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of joebucksfan.com, here with you every Monday. And it's a good one today. We got a lot to get to. And shoot, the season is 13 days away, 13 days away from real football. And we can put to bed all of this preseason nonsense and the overreaction and the underreaction and the freakout. And good golly, it's getting wild out there. I got to say this about the podcast. You know, I got some feedback last week from maybe two or three people that a little too negative, Steve, on the podcast. It's too nitpicky, too negative, too down. And to one of the guys, I responded by saying, I think this is a 10-6 football team. I think the Bucks are a 10-win team this year. That's my prediction. I'm not BSing that. That's what I believe. We'll later have an official thing on joebucksfan.com after we collaborate on at world headquarters. But I'm looking at a 10-win team. So I said to the guy, what do you think we are, Mr. Optimist? What do you think this team is? And he looks at me and he says, 10 wins. So, you know, in between is the gray area of glass half full, glass half empty. 10 wins is awesome. 10 wins is not that awesome. I think 10 wins for this team, where it is with Jameis Winston's development, I think that's a good season. Got to get in the playoffs, though, somehow, some way. You got to win the right games to get those 10 wins. I don't think a non-playoff season is going to be a real step for this team if they win 10 and have a non-playoff year, which has happened actually many times in the NFC over the last, you know, this decade. However, I'm not negative. I'm not down on the team. I just, there are certain things that need to be nitpicked, and that's why we're here. We're also here because of our fabulous sponsors, of course, Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. Save $25, $50, or even $100 off your current payment during the Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai summer clearance event. Plus, every new vehicle is backed with their exclusive nationwide warranty, and every purchase comes with 1 year free maintenance. Shop online at lakelandautomall.com or stop by the new showrooms on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, I-4, exit 28, just minutes from Tampa, Brandon, and anywhere in Central Florida. Lakeland Automall, where they are exceeding customer expectations every single day. And as far as those exceeded expectations, if you're a Bucks fan, if you're a stick carrier, however you want to call yourself as a Bucks fan, here's what you got to do. You go to lakelandford.com, find your perfect vehicle, and get your internet price. And they give the lowest prices on the internet. There's not some sort of bait and switch or whatever. That's the lowest price. Then what you do is when you find something you like and you see the lowest price online, go to Sean Sullivan, manager at Lakeland Ford. Tell him you're a stick carrier. Tell him you're a Bucks fan. Just that simple. And he's going to take an additional $500 off your price just for listening to the podcast, for being a Bucks fan. Sean is a Bucks fan. That's the way you want to do it. This offer is only valid for stick carriers, Bucks fans, and only valid on new Ford vehicles, including the all-new F-150, Mustang, Roush Modified Performance Vehicles, and any other Ford in stock. So how about that? A business that wants to help Bucks fans and support Bucks fans. Pretty darn cool. LakelandAutomall.com, LakelandFord.com. And we have to thank, of course, Discount Garage Doors. Seriously, if you have a garage door, if you have a home with a garage door or a relative who needs some help with a garage door, same day free service call with Discount Garage Doors. And you're going to get that free service call means free estimate, free diagnosis. Most competitors charge for that. DGDoors.com. DGDoors.com is the website. Call them up and 7 days a week. They're open 7 days a week, 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR. They will beat any comparable estimate. They sell new doors, do repairs, just a great company. Again, 7 days a week. For me, that's fantastic because I'm a busy guy doing all kinds of different things on different days. 10% off. Use your Joe Bucks fan code, 10% off. They have a wide range of doors, family-owned and operated local company, servicing all the way out to the Orlando area, all of Tampa Bay area, state licensed, in business since 2000, dgdoors.com. As I was saying before, there are different ways to look at a team and still come out of it thinking they're a 10-win club like I do. It's just how you want to approach being a fan. You know, joebucksfan.com approaches the media aspect of covering the Bucks and about Bucks fandom in a different way. But I would never tell somebody how to be a fan. You want to be a whiny fan. You want to be a homer fan. You want to be a I love everybody on the team as long as they're wearing the jersey fan. You want to be angry nitpicking guy. You want to be a tailgate guy who only pays attention when the real games count. You could be any kind of fan you want. There are no rules for being a fan, just like there are no rules really for covering the Buccaneers, which yeah, it's part of why you like and listen to JoeBucksFan.com and read JoeBucksFan.com, because we didn't follow the rules, didn't follow the boring blueprint of Buccaneers coverage, and here we are. Here we are 9 years later doing our thing. So is this podcast overly negative, positive? I don't know. I'm just spewing what I'm feeling and combining that with what I'm observing as a member of the media at practice, watching games two and three times, talking to coaches, talking to higher ups at One Buck Place. You know, I think what you rely on when you listen to somebody on a podcast is, sure, you want them to be entertaining, and I can't promise a lot of jokes. I can't promise a lot of super silliness. I think I could do a good job with that. Those of you who listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast, I think I have a good sense of humor. I think I know how to have fun, but doing it solo, it's tough to be funny. I don't even know how to say it. I'm sitting here in my house cutting this podcast on a Sunday late afternoon after I just fell on my ass. It was pouring outside, as many of you know, summer thunderstorms, and I was always tell my kids, don't walk or don't run, just walk in a thunderstorm or in the rain. Don't run so you don't fall. And sure enough, I was hustling my ass to the house and wiped out on some tile. So it's all good. A little ice and a hot shower and a couple of Tylenol. It's all good. Joe is fine. No injuries to the typing fingers. So yes, I do see the Bucs as a 10-win team, and how we scrutinize that, that'll change all the time. There's no desire to be pessimistic or optimistic. Just trying to keep it real here. There are a lot of great things going on, a lot of troubling things going on. And if you live the Bucs life, if you live the roller coaster of fandom, you get it. I mean, there are some things that are troubling as hell and some things that are really, really good. And I'm not going to pretend that, you know, nothing is that important. However, a lot of fans are freaking out over the Bucs' performance against the Browns. Freaking out. Oh my gosh, the red zone offense. Oh my gosh, Jameis. Oh my gosh, we can't score any points. Look, first of all, it's not a full game plan against the Browns. That's number one. Number two, the Bucs rested 15 players. 15, a lot of them starters. And you know what? This team, without Mike Evans and without DeSean Jackson, it sucks. It sucks. If they weren't around, what would this team win? 6 games? Maybe. So yeah, the Buccaneers stink without those two players. That's to be expected. That would be a game changer this season if we get into the regular season and the Bucs lose Evans and Jackson for half the year. How many games do you think they're really going to win? So don't freak out. Gerald McCoy, there are pro Gerald McCoy guys, anti Gerald McCoy people. They're out there. We've written about it 100 times, but he's still a good player. He's still a starting caliber player at worst. And I think logical people see him as a top 5 defensive tackle in the league. So he wasn't there. And Quan Alexander, the pulse of the defense, the Mike linebacker, the guy who led the NFL in solo tackles, he's not there. Your best cornerback is out in Brent Grimes. And you got people freaking out about the Bucs and the way they look in the preseason. Come on. Come on. You're all better than that. Whoever's having the freak out, you're better than that. You can't look at it as just one little preseason games. On top of that, it's on a wet field, and you know Cutter isn't doing certain things. That may have been part of why DeSean Jackson didn't play. So don't freak out. Please do not freak out. As far as 10-6, I think it's a really simple formula. The defense, the additional weapons, and Dirk Cutter. I think that's what makes this team better from last year. Sure, Jameis Winston should take a jump. He should take a step in this progression toward becoming an elite quarterback, toward getting closer to the Matt Ryans and the Drew Brees. And I'm not going to say that Cam Newton is necessarily better than Jameis, but you know what? He probably is, and he's accomplished more. And that's no shame to Jameis Winston whatsoever. But yeah, Jameis should take a step. How big that step is, I don't know. Dirk Cutter talked about this the other day, just over the weekend before the game, saying, you know, how big the step is for Jameis. I don't know. You got to go play the games. You just don't know. That decision-making really isn't tested the decision-making we all want to see to get better. Simply stated, you can see signs and practice all you want. When it's rolling in the games, that's when it matters. That is when it matters. Nobody saw Josh Freeman in practice in training camp in 2010 and said, man, he's going to go out there and throw 25 touchdowns and six picks. The decision-making on this guy is flawless. It's a big step up. You can see it. No, that stuff, you have to just go do it. And we're not going to know what we're going to see from Jameis until we get that done. But this team should be a little bit better where hopefully you think that Jameis isn't feeling that need to force things like he does sometimes. So, but that's why I think it's better. Simple formula, better defense, better weapons, better head coach. Year two for Cutter. He's a smart guy. He's an introspective kind of guy. He's not a big blowhard egomaniac. He believes he can call plays. Don't ever question Dirk Cutter on his ability to call plays. That is his thing. That is his, that's his, I don't know what you want to call it. That's his thing. And don't mess with that. But he should be better and more involved as a head coach, more settled in, making some better decisions. And I think he's got a good firm hold on the team. And while they have not practiced very well consistently, I don't think it was always effort. And I'm not worried about the Browns game. So all I know is Dirk Cutter found a way last year. He found a way to have the Bucs 100% ready for opening day in Atlanta when they really thumped the Falcons. So I trust Dirk Cutter implicitly to have this team ready for opening day. And I don't think they're going to have a complacency lull like they did last year, getting shellacked in week two and letting it affect them like that, where they maybe were reading their press clippings and all that kind of stuff. I think that's why this team is going to be better. And the defense, of course, a lot revolves around Mike Smith coming back in his second year, but there is an upgrade in talent and some guys who should just be better. And that second year of the defense should make a big difference. So yeah, I'm very positive on the team. I think it's a 10-win team. 11 wins for me is like, that's division title, super special team territory. When you can win more than two out of three and 11-5, that means you went 10-5. I hate to sound simplistic, but that means you went 10-5 and you go to your last game, you're 11-5. Or you're 11-4 and you go to your last game and you're 11-5. That's a big step for a team. That's a level of dominance that I'm not sure this team is ready for yet with their competition, but you know, that's why you play the games. I mean, I don't want to get into the cliches, but 10 wins. And I think we should all be freaking fired up because that's awesome. Awesome for this team to take a step. If you believe they're better, what an exciting season lies ahead. Now, a couple of things I wanted to mention about the podcast and about morning radio. For those of you who pay attention to local radio in the Tampa Bay area, a lot of you have given up on it. I get it. A lot of you were never big radio people to begin with. You can't stand the commercials and you think they're a bunch of blowhards or whatever. Well, there's been a change starting today. There's a new morning show on WDAE, but that's from 6 to 9, and they got rid of their 9 to noon radio show, which, and then now they're plugging in Dan Patrick from 9 to noon. So that's the bad news for the Tampa Bay radio market, because you never want to have a gap from your local shows and then go to national and then back to local. You want continuity. And right now in the Tampa Bay area with 620, something happens with the Bucs in the morning, a move is made, or the Rays make a deal. You can't even turn on your local top sports radio station and get any chatter about it, which is pretty wild in a market this big. A lot of trouble in local radio. And we're glad to be here with you for the podcast. Every Monday morning, I'm here with Monday Morning Joe. Follow us on iTunes. You could subscribe for a free alert. The podcast is now on Podbean, also on Google Play. And leave a review if you don't like it, if you like it, if you want to say anything, spit it out there. I'll see it. And we appreciate the reviews. It gets people looking at the podcast and want to build up the reviews on iTunes. Just, you know, it's so easy. 1 minute, you type in whatever you're thinking. And also Bucks Uncensored is every Monday morning. Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Monday and Friday mornings on joebucksfan.com. Todd really does a great, great job boiling down information in a fantastic way on the podcast. You can enter next Monday, a live fantasy draft, Labor Day night in St. Pete. All the details are in Todd's podcast, or they'll be on joebucksfan.com this week. It's free entry, good prizes. He runs a great league. Live draft next Monday, 6:30 p.m. at Hooters on 4th Street, St. Pete. I believe I'm going to play in that, but I don't want to confirm that here Labor Day night. Now, speaking of the media, Dirk Cutter, man, the guy has a really interesting relationship with the media. If anybody watched the video of Cutter's news conference on Thursday after practice, he was very excited. He came over, big smile, comes over to the makeshift podium outdoors there and says, "Last day of open media. Who's happy?" And somebody said to him, "Looks like you're happy." And he said, "I am happy." Cutter, man, he's great with the media. He appreciates the job the media does, but he doesn't like them. I think as a group, I don't think he likes them or really respects their football knowledge and really isn't interested in hamming it up for the camera. And, you know, there are some people he doesn't like in the media. I think that's fair to say. He's got some people who are under his skin. And it's just kind of funny that he's so candid that he goes up to the podium and says, "Last day of open media, who's happy?" And he's happy about it. It's really interesting. Cutter's fantastic quote. I think he can become a national figure a lot. John Gruden, in many ways, made a national reputation because of his faces on the sideline. If you really think about it, yes, he was a great coach. He was a boy wonder, but people still know him as Chucky. They still know him from those faces, from those looks on the sidelines. Nationally, that in many ways is how he's known. Lovie Smith. All right, I apologize for bringing up Lovie Smith on the podcast. Bad move. Got to put a dollar in the tin. Not doing that ever again. But Cutter is a guy who eventually he'll be known for his quotes and the way he is, but he's not known nationally at all, and he's not really a guy interested in doing much media. You're just not going to see Cutter seeking it out. And I don't blame him in some ways because that's just not him, and he's not going to be phony. But, you know, you would hope that eventually he'll ease up a little bit because, not that ease up's the wrong word. You would hope that he would be a little warmer to the media in some ways, just because it's good for the team. It's good for the team to get out there, good for him to have a relationship with a lot of these national shows and to get his quality media personality out there just so when he does want to go to the well, when he does want to go get a point across nationally, maybe even talk to his team through the national media, he can do that. And of course, winning helps. But anyway, Cutter, I just thought it was worth mentioning because it's a little unique with Cutter. He's so good with the media, but I don't think he really likes him. Does he like JoeBucksFan.com? I'm going to say yes. Obviously, as many of you know, the only real exclusive interview he did in the off season before training camp was with the Ira Kaufman podcast with us at JoeBucksFan.com, which we set up well in advance, and Cutter signed off on it and spent a lot of time with us. So that was pretty cool. Actually, after training camp the other day, and I got to slap Ira Kaufman around about this, Cutter approached after he did that news conference and said, "Open media, you know, thank God it's over." He approaches us and we're on the field and he approaches us, comes over and he starts taking it. Like he starts taking his shirt off. And I'm like, and the Hard Knocks cameras are with him. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then he, it turned out he was taking his shirt off to pull off his Hard Knocks microphone and just get that all off before he came to talk to us. So my assumption was he had something really juicy he wanted us to know, something really good. And Ira, of course, as many of you know, started talking, started, you know, his schmoozing and making some, you know, wise guy quotes and, you know, asking a couple of questions. And before you knew it, maybe 2.5 minutes later, a couple of other media members came over and Cutter's demeanor changed and he said, "Take care, guys," and he left. And I just still bugging me. I had a feeling that he wanted to say something. I wanted to go over something that he didn't want to share with anybody else, but it didn't happen. So there you go. A little bit of insight of what goes on behind the scenes with the media. I don't know if that was interesting or not, but I think it's interesting. So that's what this podcast is about. Of course, thanks to Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, as well as Discount Garage Doors. We cannot forget them. DGDoors.com, LakelandAutomall.com. So let's go back to Saturday night's game. Preseason game 3, it wasn't much of a dress rehearsal because there were so many missing Buccaneers. However, those who were out there were treating it like a dress rehearsal for the regular season, and there was some really good stuff out there, and some stuff that wasn't so good. I'm going to start with Kendall Beckwith, the final pick of the third round in 2017. Jason Light traded up for this guy, had ACL surgery In just about December, he took 1 to 2 weeks off after the actual blown ACL on, I think it was November 19th. And Beckwith has had this miraculous recovery. Many of you read the story I had on JoeBucksFan.com. I talked to Beckwith and said to him, hey, Kendall, look, a lot of people who have had ACL surgery or just fans in general, they're blown away. How did you do this in 8 months to be able to come back? Not even 8 months, he's back on the training camp field. Stunning recovery. He hasn't been held back at all, going full bore. And Beckwith credited, of course, his doctor and his rehab people, but he credited something he called prehab, which was he waited on his surgery about a couple of weeks and was really doing a lot of rehab to strengthen before the surgery. Now, that doesn't mean that he walked out of surgery and was feeling great, but it just gave him a little bit of a head start on the recovery, and he put a lot of work into that. He just felt that he got after it every single day, and he was right in rehab after surgery, and just knock on wood, everything was going great for him. So it's really been an extraordinary comeback. Lee DeKemper and I on JoeBucksFan.com, we were very skeptical of Jason Light relying on this guy to play this year, but you know what? He has done what Lewis Murphy, Jaquiz Smith, and many others before him have not been able to do, which is to come back full throttle off an ACL in 8 months, 9 months, unreal. Now, last night, Beckwith missed a couple of tackles. One that I saw, Dirk Cutter said it was two tackles. He's not perfect. He's had some issues in special teams as well. However, he did force a fumble, and if you watch that replay slowly, he just instinctively ducks under the defender. The guy, the blocker who's about to engage him, gets under the guy and then explodes forward into the football and knocks it loose from the runner. Really an unreal kind of play. Fantastic play. And it prompted Rondé Barber to say that he, and it was confirmed by Jason Light, this is Rondé Barber talking, and Bucks scouts, again, Rondé Barber talking, that Beckwith may be the most instinctive player on the Buccaneers. And that's pretty darn strong. Those are strong words when you think of the instinctive type of players who are on the Bucks, from Quan Alexander to Brent Grimes to DeSean Jackson. And I'm just talking pure instincts. This is not a knock on Gerald McCoy. I don't think he's necessarily the most instinctive talent out there. Doesn't mean you could be great and not be instinctive necessarily, but those are very, very strong words, considering Beckwith doesn't have much of a body of work, that they were getting that out of practice. So having talked to Beckwith, very imposing figure. He lists at 6'3", like 250 something. Big dude, man. Big guy. Big athlete, and very interesting pick by the Bucks. If he can be successful as a starting strong side linebacker this year and train at all three positions, the Bucks really have something there, which is exciting. Now you go back to the other third round pick, Chris Godwin. What a man this guy is. And this guy, Godwin, his performance the other night on a wet field, asked to be a number one receiver, going over the middle for balls and catching them. No alligator arms. Catching outside. Catching from Jameis, who he hasn't had a lot of practice time with. In the rain. Nothing seems to be too big for Chris Godwin. And I've written about this, and maybe a lot of fans don't necessarily get it. Maybe they do, I don't know. But here's the thing. Cutter is not full of baloney when he says he wants the best guys on the field, and he'll do what he has to do to get the best guys on the field. And it's Cutter who has called Chris Godwin Roddy White-like in his work ethic and in the way he plays. I talked to Todd Monken, receivers coach, offensive coordinator during training camp, a couple of times about Godwin. And they just see him as a very mature, talented, versatile, hard nose, eager to do the dirty work, and talented football player. So if he's a guy that has to get on the field because he's that good and they believe in him, and now he's proven himself when he was asked to step up in preseason, that means a different kind of look for the Bucs offense, a different kind of Bucs offense. A lot of people want to pigeonhole the Bucs offense and Cutter into what they saw in 2015. Which was two guys pounding the ball very successfully in Doug Martin and Charles Sims. And, you know, a passing attack with Mike Evans and a little bit of Vincent Jackson half the season when he was in, and, you know, the emergence of some contributors like Adam Humphries and Dante Dye a little bit, but they weren't very good in 2015. This was a run-first offense. I think it can be a lot different this year, and I think it will be a lot different. And I think Godwin's success, that could affect Doug Martin. It could affect the whole flow of the offense and what it's going to look like and where the focus goes. It's just something to watch. As far as the rest of the preseason game, let me take it to Jameis. I'm not freaking out. You know, we call him America's quarterback. Steve Dumig on WDAE used to call us the flag wavers for Jameis. I'm not freaking out by one pick in the end zone. You don't want to see it. It's not good. The Bucs didn't score a touchdown. That's Jameis' ultimate job. But again, like I said earlier, no DeSean Jackson, no Mike Evans. You better believe this offense is going to struggle. And I'm just not worried about one pick by Jameis where the guy might have been held and it wasn't like it was a stupid decision. I'm not making excuses, but I'm not freaked out. And I don't think anybody else should be either. In the running game, you know, I don't know. Jaquizz Rodgers, guy runs like an animal. He's an animal. You should have heard Jameis in the post-game show on the Buccaneers radio network just saying that Jaquizz initiates contact and he is just an absolute beast. And the team really believes in Jaquizz Rodgers, which they should. He proved himself. And he ran strong last night. 10 carries, 34 yards. He had an explosive play in the running game. A couple of long runs. A couple of times he got stuffed. You know, I'm not overvaluing his 34 yards on 10 carries, but very solid. And they move the ball with him in there. His blocking is strong. He can catch and run. He knows the offense. And, you know, Doug Martin, I think 11 carries, 43 yards with the first team this preseason. Scored a touchdown, had a couple of explosive runs, as did Rodgers. Yeah, Martin missed a couple of opportunities as well. Missed a couple of reads, if you will. Was not spectacular, but was good. I'm not sure Martin did enough for the guys who watched the film at $1 to have them say, oh my gosh, can't wait for week 4 for Doug Martin to come back. I don't think he did that. Don't think he met that threshold, but he did play well. And he did, you know, he's still here. He's still doing what he's supposed to be doing. Obviously, no slip-ups with the drug situation. Otherwise, he'd be out of football right now. So the Martin question mark remains a question mark. Jaquizz Rodgers, how the offense changes with Chris Godwin. Is Adam Humphries healthy? All these things might be a factor for Doug Martin as his judgment day comes. Just to clarify a couple things with Martin, his contract was not voided by his drug suspension. What was voided was the guaranteed money in his contract. So no more guarantees. So basically the Bucs owed him, I think it was $7 to $8 million guaranteed this year. The guarantee is what gets wiped out, but Martin is still getting paid the same money. If the Bucs want to overpay him and pay him the same money, they won't touch his contract. They'll bring him back in week 4. They won't have to pay him for the first 3 games, and away they go. But more than likely, Martin knows that the Bucs are going to come back to him and say, hey, we don't want to pay you that kind of money. You let us down. We'll pay you a couple million bucks, or we'll pay you what Jaquizz is earning, and we'll put you in a prove-it year. Does Martin agree to that? Does Martin want to test the market? Does Martin want to see what else might be out there for him in week 4? Which, who knows what could be out there? Name a team. They lose their running back. They're in contention. Doug Martin's on the market. Maybe they take a flyer. So it's up to the Bucs what they're going to do and how they want to approach it. Very much a question mark. Jeremy McNichols. Let me go there with him. The rookie 5th-round pick. Dirk Koetter called him out in his news conference Sunday afternoon. And this is a situation where we disagree at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters. You're going to read a story this morning from Lee DeCamper on Joe Bucks Fan, and it sort of breaks down McNichols and all the things Koetter has said, a lot of hints that Koetter has made over the past weeks that imply that, you know, they're not too high on McNichols and he's on the bubble and he might be on his way out. Now, I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that for a second. I think McNichols is a lock for the roster. I think they like McNichols. I think he's just being a typical rookie in a lot of ways. It's a very big positive that the Koetter praised his special teams play. But you know what? A lot of rookies struggle in pass protection. They struggle with the playbook. And at this time of year, I don't think they're ready to give up on him, especially without Doug Martin. And frankly, McNichols hasn't gotten a shot with the first team running backs. He hasn't fumbled. That would be an also a major red flag for a running back. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. Really don't whatsoever. So we'll see. Makes it fun. Makes it fun. Also going back to Saturday's game against the Browns, Noah Spence, invisible against Joe Thomas. Completely invisible. He did get a sack, which was nice. He showcased his motor by staying with that play. But it was really a blitz. It was a blitz by Robert McClain, who just kind of flushed him right into Spence, and he got the sack. So I'm not taking it away from him, but not the game you were looking for Noah Spence to shine. Ryan Smith, there's a story on Joe Bucks Fan. You can read it about the roller coaster ride of Ryan Smith in that game. Oh, man, this guy is bad. He's good. He's quick. He's out of position. He's all over the map. And you know, we get comments on JoeBucksFan.com. A lot of them even get filtered, and I get emails, and we get all kinds of stuff thrown at us. And, oh, you hate Ryan Smith, or, oh, you don't want to let a guy develop. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Ryan Smith is being asked, right now anyway, is being asked to be the number three cornerback on this team, the backup outside corner. Grimes goes down, in comes Ryan Smith. Hargraves goes down, in comes Ryan Smith. At Joe Bucks Fan here, I don't think he's ready for that role. Don't think so. Hasn't proven it. Huge risk. I mean, you're talking about a Bucks team that we're expecting to win 10 games and make the playoffs and make some noise. If Ryan Smith has to step in that role, odds are the Bucks don't get there because he is that vulnerable. And in a real game, he's going to get targeted repeatedly by another team's best receiver. And there's a lot of great receivers out there to throw at Ryan Smith. So I'm not against Ryan Smith. I have no problem with him competing and continuing to develop. Don't see him as a number three cornerback on this team for this year. And that's no shame. It's the Bucks, not Ryan Smith, who made him a safety last year and decided, hey, this guy can't play safety. It's not Ryan Smith's fault that he doesn't have an extra year of development under his belt. Mike Smith told us that they were looking to get him a full year's worth of backup cornerback reps in the preseason. Looks like they're going to do that. He's gotten a ton of reps. And that was the experience they were looking for. Did they see enough? Risky. Risky. But don't be surprised if the Bucs hit the waiver wire and the cuts for a cornerback, an experienced corner. They did lose Hey Jude, Ajay Barima, Robert McClain. Looks strong. He's versatile. Nice pickup. And he's playing well. He's had a good summer. Josh Robinson still isn't playing much on the defensive snaps at cornerback. Not sure he's even a factor there. Remember, he couldn't see the field ahead of Altron Werner last year, who they did not like it at all. So I suspect they're going to get another cornerback. It just makes too much sense. But we'll see. We'll see. This is why Jason Light has paid the big bucks. And lastly, I guess out of that game, I'll go a couple more places. First, Brian Anger, Nick Folk, the kicking game looked extremely strong. Extremely strong. I think it was probably the first time that I've actually watched a Bucks game in a long time where a guy stepped up to kick, and I just didn't worry about it. Really didn't worry about Folk. I was almost even okay with going to going to the fridge or going to a one-buck press box. A buffet and grabbing a drink and not worrying whether Folk was going to make it or not. Brian Anger dropped another great punt as he did all last season. The Bucks are strong there, and I think that's a good thing. Folk, he's going to miss some kicks this year, just like almost every other kicker is going to miss some kicks, but his consistency has been good enough through his career. He's had some great years. He had a very strong year last year, making 87% of his field goals. This is not the Meadowlands, folks. Not an easy place to kick in the Meadowlands. It's much easier here. He's got domes. He's got better weather in Tampa, less wind. I think it's a good spot for Nick Folk, and I think he fits right in, and I think they appreciate him, which always helps a kicker. He's not going to be under any pressure this year. He can just relax and drill those balls. Swaggy, Chris Baker. You know, whatever a high motor is, they defined Noah Spence as having a high motor. Whatever a high motor guy is, Chris Baker's the opposite. He is the opposite, and I'm a little scared. I really am, because he does not look motivated. He's got selective motivation. He played the most he had in the preseason the other night, And even his get off compared to Clinton McDonald's, who did a nice job filling in for Gerald McCoy. Not good. Swaggy is just not good. Not yet, anyway. I mean, if you don't buy it, if you think this is exaggeration or you don't like the guy, just go back and watch the film. I think he's a lot of fun, and the players like him. But you know what? They're not going to like him when they watch that film, and if it continues. I really believe that. I mean, these guys want to win. And if they don't want to win and they can tolerate a guy who's not playing all out, that doesn't speak well. But I think things are going to straighten themselves out with Swaggy. Maybe. We could be hopeful. But go keep your eye on Baker during the game. It's not pretty in the motor department. We'll see. It's preseason. Everybody's trying to stay healthy. It's wet. We're giving him every excuse in the book. But 13 days, he's got to be in Miami. They got a good offensive line there. Maurice Pouncey is going to be back. I watched the Dolphins last week. Their backup O-line did quite a job. It's going to be a tough spot for Mr. Baker in the extreme heat. And you know what? I expect he'll probably end up rotating 50-50, maybe even less, with Clinton McDonald, who's had a good camp. The Bucs might as well ride him. And I really don't think Baker's going to care if he has to get some extra snaps off. All good for him, man. All good. He'll be smiling and ribbing Nick Folk and doing all the things he does, having hot dogs on the sidelines and all that stuff. Last thing from the game, offensive line. I thought they did a lot of good things, first team O-line. Leonard Wester, this guy, third stringer, who we saw a little bit last year, very little bit, he played pretty well. And they've got some talent out there, Emmanuel Ogba on the Browns, and I don't know if he and Miles Garrett moved around, but they got some talent out there, some raw talent. Wester hung in there pretty well. I didn't see a lot from Evan Smith, but Dirk Cutter said he singled him out on Sunday for his play at left guard. So we'll give him that. We'll go with Cutter. Ali Marpet, solid again. Cutter said he had a couple of snaps that were a little bit off target, wet ball. I don't know. I didn't see it. He played a solid game, Ali. Only his second ever game at center. I think he was pretty solid. There were some holes there for the running backs. Donovan Smith, not good, not his best day, let up a clean sack on Jameis early. You can't do that. You just cannot do that, especially in the preseason. Jameis was not happy, and I mean, it's going to happen, but, you know, can't do that. Sweezy was okay. I thought all in all, makeshift line, you know, it was pretty good. So a lot of positives to come out of the game. Again, $15 being rested. Don't freak out. Don't go crazy with it. And just appreciate what Chris Godwin and Kendall Beckwith are bringing to the table as third-round picks. Guys who look like they're really going to contribute this year. I mean, Jason Light, he has not been perfect. He's not been the perfect GM. But look at this team. Look at the depth. Look at the talent that's around. I mean, that's Jason Light's team. And it is pretty impressive considering what we've looked at here for the last many years. It's pretty darn good. All right, I wanted to mention something about Hard Knocks. And, you know, we saw on Hard Knocks last Tuesday, it's been almost a week already, and I'm enjoying Hard Knocks. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's not the greatest show in the world, but it's a lot of fun when your team's in it. I'm watching it twice, and it's just neat to look for things behind the scenes. And you know, as you guys can imagine, you know, JoeBucksFan.com, we are scrutinizing everything, and it's just added a new fun way to do what we do and something else to watch for, but I know the fans are enjoying it as well. But you take a look at Hard Knocks, and we saw that exchange with Jameis after he made the stupid pass against the Jaguars, and Dirk Cutter very lovingly chewed him out. You know, basically told him, hey, you're better than that. Your greed took over. And you're so much better than that. There was so much passion in Cutter's voice, like loving passion, not like you're a dumbass, you're so much better than that. It was just, you know, come on, Jameis. And, you know, the message was very clear. And it was just a great moment, great insight into the relationship and, you know, the way Cutter feels about Jameis, I thought, in that scene, because he cares about him and he respects him and appreciates him. But, you know, was also letting him know, it just can't happen, and especially from somebody who is that good. Now, I wrote a story on Saturday on Joe Bucks Fan about Jameis and fake news. And it revolved around that play. It was interesting. The top afternoon drive sports talk show in Fort Myers, ESPN Fort Myers. And they broadcast, you know, all over Southwest Florida. A lot of Bucs fans down there, a lot of NFL fans, Dolphins fans, whatever. It's, you know, sports radio in Southwest Florida. Well, the host of the show, one of the hosts, they had Bucs beat writer Roy Cummings on the show. And, you know, he was just being interviewed about all things Bucs. And Cummings works for Channel 8. You saw him on the pre- and post-game show for the Bucs broadcast. And he does some other freelance things. He's not with a newspaper anymore or a big outlet, but you see him on Channel 8. He's still around. He's at practice every day. He's getting under Dirk Cutter's skin quite a bit. You've seen some of that stuff if you've watched if you're a hardcore and you watch all the news conferences. Anyway, so the host of the Fort Myers show says to Cummings, "Hey, you know, Jameis, we got to see on Hard Knocks, Dirk Cutter chewed him out and called him selfish. And you know, Roy, I've never seen, I've seen a lot of coaches yell at players, but it's a big red flag when they call him selfish. And that really surprised me, that choice of language. What did you think, Roy?" And Roy gives a very long and drawn out answer about why Dirk Cutter would call Jameis selfish and how he's motivating him that way. Now, the point of my story was that Dirk Cutter never used the word selfish, never said it. They never did actually say selfish. Go back to the video, and I had went back to the video and triple checked. He never said selfish. All he said to Jameis was that that his greed takes over. And but greed and selfishness are two different things. They really, really are. And some people I know are hearing this now saying, "Oh, you're splitting hairs, and greed's the same thing, synonym." No, it's not. Being selfish, or telling someone they're being selfish, is saying that all they care about is themselves. That they're in a moment where their motivation is 100% about themselves. Being greedy is something very different. You can be greedy for a family. Like maybe I'm greedy and I want to make as much money as I can for my family. Doesn't make me selfish. Maybe I'm greedy in selling Girl Scout cookies with my daughter to give them to the Girl Scouts because I want to help support the Girl Scouts. Does that make me selfish? No. Jameis doesn't have a selfish bone in his body when it comes to the Bucs. He just doesn't. There are so many examples. You could even go back to, I think it was Adam Humphries' first touchdown, where Jameis could have easily ran the ball in and he just threw a 3-yard pass to Humphries to get him a score. There are a lot of instances on the field and off the field where I don't think for a second Dirk Cutter even would think that Jameis is selfish. He's the ultimate team guy. And we've all watched Jameis. We've all seen plenty from Jameis, even on Hard Knocks. It's all about the team and winning. And his greed is in his desire to get wins and get W's and win a Super Bowl. He wants to collect Super Bowls and be greedy. Does that make him selfish? No. So the point of what I wrote is that, you know, we hear the term fake news out there and it's, you know, very political and whatnot, but you could define fake news however you want, but this is how these bogus narratives or bogus talking points or whatever you want to call it get started. It's like a fake news kind of thing where, you know what, all of us, you can say it's just Fort Myers and it's just Roy Cummings on a radio show there, but it's not that simple. You know, thousands and thousands of people are listening, hearing that Dirk Cutter thinks his quarterback is selfish. And, oh, Jameis Winston is selfish. And it spreads. Spreads on social media. Spreads like wildfire. And all of a sudden, poof, it gets where it needs to go. And he's selfish. Jameis is a selfish player. And Dirk Cutter says so. And that's just not fair. And as Bucs fans, as a guy covering the Bucs, I think you got to call it out. You got to call it out. And you know what? Pat Kerwin, I'll give you a small example. Pat Kerwin, who is one of the busiest guys in the NFL. He also is the afternoon drive host on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Moving the Chains, really one of the best X's and O's shows you can listen to. Kerwin lives in Naples, and he used to be a regular guest on that show, on that afternoon show on ESPN Fort Myers. He was there for years, sponsored by Pincher's Crab Shack, and he listens to that station. Now, Kerwin covers the whole NFL. He might have been listening and heard, oh, Cutter called him selfish. And it's interesting that Jameis is being called selfish. And next thing you know, he's saying how he's heard that, and it's on national radio. And that's how that stuff spreads, and it's just important. So I wrote it up. Not everybody liked it, but oh well. You know, we're not here to win any popularity contests at JoeBucksFan.com. And I know, you know, if you read the comments section or you see some of the stuff that's sent to us on Twitter, you got to understand, at Joe Bucks Fan, where we have 20,000 to 25,000 visits to the website every day, there's a lot of people who don't like us, don't like our angles, don't like our takes, whatever. There's a lot of people who do. And on almost every story written or anything that's even remotely controversial, there's a lot of feedback we get on both sides. And if I took any of that stuff seriously, I'd go insane and it would waste a ton of time. And I just can't do that. People don't like it, don't read it. If you do like it, thanks. But it can't matter. It just can't matter. We just have to cover what we do the way we do it, call it as we see it, and hope it works. So far, it's worked. The day it doesn't work, we'll just keep going. It's just important to realize that we're not playing with any agendas. We're not trying to make people happy or not make people happy or cater to readers or intentionally upset people. Everything's going to happen with every story anyway. And we just write with a passion and try to be as straight and as straightforward as possible to get the points across in a clear way. Not everybody's going to like it, but that's the way it goes. Last thing on Hard Knocks, Doug Martin appeared. We got to see a little bit of Doug Martin. They were at his house, took the skateboard out. He talked to them, looked like it was on his couch in his home. And despite a little one-minute feature on Doug Martin and all the footage that they have from all the meeting rooms and all the offices and everything he's done, we really got zero insight into what the organization thinks of him. And we just got Martin sort of saying, I need to be a better vet. And I put myself in this position and I hope, I hope good things happen. It was didn't end any of the mystery when it could have, if they had footage that sort of, you know, even had coaches praising him of stuff that we hadn't seen publicly. What happens with Martin again, we don't know. We don't even know really how bad it was with Martin last year. Just don't know. But I thought it was a bummer, really, that we didn't get more out of that Hard Knocks little feature on Doug Martin. With all the stuff they probably had, we got very, very little. But at least he knows how to skateboard, and that's a good thing. All right, opening day, like we said, coming up 13 days, Bucks at Miami. I want to let everybody know, we at Joe Bucks Fan are teaming up with Justin Pulaski, Bucks Uncensored Podcast, the Stick Carriers. It's an official Stick Carrier event. It's going to be at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Huge watch party for opening day. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. We're encouraging everybody to get there by 11:30. Why? Two reasons. One, Abe's seats about 225 people or so, and we want to make sure everybody gets a seat and gets in early. And you know what? If for the people who arrive later, 12:30 or so, if there are no more seats left, it still gives them time to go somewhere else and watch the game. You know, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but we want everybody to get there early. We want everybody to be happy at the end of the day as well. So get there early. If it's packed by 12:30, we can always put out on Twitter, hey, no more seats at Abe's, and maybe that'll divert some folks. But also, we're going to be giving away prizes, and we're giving them all away. It's just easier to do it this way, and it also will encourage people to get there early. We're giving away all kinds of prizes before 12:30. So you want to get there early. We got multiple Bucks jerseys to give away. We've got multiple Bucks hats. We've got collectibles. A lot of cool stuff to give away. It's all going to be given away before 12:30. So that's Abe's Place. Details are on JoeBucksFan.com. Food is phenomenal. There's some seating outside. Not too much, though. There's bar seating. There's also restaurant seating. And so Abe's is very well prepared for Sunday football. You're going to have the audio. You'll have some other games you can peek in on. Great Wi-Fi there. Food is fantastic. Abe's Place, opening day watch party. Joe Bucks Fan, I'll be there. The commish, Justin Pulaski, will be there. Stick Carriers will be hearing about it. Going to be a lot of fun. We're going to recreate the stadium atmosphere right in the bar and the restaurant, and it's going to be a great time. Stick Carriers, Bucks fans, definitely remember, LakelandFord.com. Get your lowest price on a Ford. lowest internet price right there, which they put online, and then contact Sean Sullivan, and you will get another $500 off if you tell him you're a Bucks fan, that you listen to the podcast, and that you're a stick carrier. Whichever, however you want to phrase it, Sean Sullivan, Lakeland Ford, phenomenal opportunity from our great sponsor. And dgdoors.com, that's Discount Garage Doors. Remember, same-day service, that's going to get you a diagnosis and an estimate. No charge. Most companies charge for that. Call them up. Go to their website, dgdoors.com. Get your 10% off discount with your Joe Bucks fan code. They sell new doors, all sorts of models and makes. And just a great company that's going to take care of you in a way that you're not used to if you've dealt with other garage door companies. Our podcast comes back on Monday. Remember, iTunes, Podbean, you can subscribe there. That means you get an alert right into your phone or however you have your app set up on your tablet or whatever. And when the podcast is available, you get an alert. So we appreciate everybody who's tuning in, thousands, that we continue to grow here. I'm just kind of doing my thing, and I appreciate that people want to hear it. We'll give you as much as we can on this podcast. Enjoy our family of podcasts. You can see them all at joebucksfan.com. I forgot to mention before, the Scuttlebucks, brand new podcast on Wednesdays, starring Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang from ESPN Tallahassee. In addition to being very good, Cameron is a friend of Jameis, and you can look for Jameis on that podcast with an exclusive appearance coming up. He interviews Jameis every single year, a couple of times or so, and he was with Jameis's family when he was drafted, and we're going to bring some of that here. It's a very well-done podcast. We wouldn't bring it on here if it was going to be a piece of crap. That's it. Go Bucks Thursday night. Of course, I'll be out there at the preseason game, getting all kinds of juice and whatever we can find out, practice this week, and then it all starts. It all gets real in a hurry, folks. Week one. Our poll at joebucksfan.com says, right now, I popped it up here on Sunday, I think it's about 75% of fans think the Bucks are going to win opening day in Miami. I hope. Fingers, toes, everything's crossed. The rabbit's feet are out. All the lucky posters are up, the sweaters. We need it. We need it. We need that good start. Come home, beat Mike Glennon to a pulp here, go 2-0 and set this town on fire. That would be awesome. All right, Monday Morning Joe, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.